right, so children that love the Lord Jesus are like jewels. And it's nice to think of how the Lord thinks of us, too. Who has one they'd like to sing? Okay, Christopher. 40. Number 40. Jesus loves me.
This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Just a minute. I'm just going to point out one word in this last verse of this song, and it's a word called trust. So it says, if I trust him, should I die? If I trust the Lord Jesus and I die, the Lord Jesus will take me home. So that word trust, we're going to talk about a little later. Okay. Robert,
yeah.
17.
Have you any room for Jesus? He, the Lord of sin.
Okay. You have one you'd like to sing?
29.
All right. Let's sing 29. Number 29.
A ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and life. The master may answer in words true and plain, he must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, he must be born again.
Before we go any further, how about if we ask for God's help? Our God and loving Father, we give thanks for thy kindness to us and love, and we give thanks especially for the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks for this day. We give thanks for the privilege that we have this day to remember the Lord Jesus and his death. And we just give thanks for this little time for the children. And we pray that thou wilt work and stir in each child's heart here. And pray that thou wilt give them hearing hearts to thy word. And just pray for thy help as thy word is opened. Ask for blessing. And we just give thanks for thy great love for us. In the worthy name of the Lord Jesus, amen.
Amen.
All right, maybe we'll have more time to sing, I don't know. But I know sometimes you have memory verses, and I know every Sunday school's perhaps a little different. So, if there was a memory verse in John 1:12 in last week's paper, and I don't want to force people to say verses that don't want to say verses, or shy, or who don't know the verse, or anything like that. But if there's anybody that would like to say that verse, that's John 1:12, and it starts with, as many as received him. Would you like to say that verse?
John 1:12. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1:12.
Okay, great job. Anybody else want to say that? Okay. Well, I'm glad we had one person say that verse. That's a good verse. And It says, as many as received him. Who's the him in that verse? Okay.
The Lord
Jesus. Yeah. And the chapter that this verse comes out of tells us that the Lord Jesus came into the world, and it says the world didn't know him. And then he came to his own. Who were his own? That might be a tougher question. If I asked you to raise your hand if you belong to the Lord Jesus, which I'm not going to do, I hope you'd all raise your hand. But his own in this verse were Israel people, the Jews. And it says they didn't receive him. But then it says whoever received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So what do you think about when you think about power? Anybody have any thoughts about power? What it means? We measure engines that way. We measure people that way. But in a lot of different ways. Christopher, do you have something you're thinking about? What do you think about with power?
They can, like, turn to something or something?
Yeah. You mean turn into something else? That's a pretty good thought. Yeah. Turn into something else would be, that would be pretty powerful if you could do that. Well, if I asked you to think about people that were powerful, can you think of any people that are powerful?
The Lord Jesus.
The Lord Jesus, yeah.
Kings.
It's interesting.
People that are stronger than you.
People that are stronger than you, yeah.
Stephen?
Presidents, yeah. Okay. Well, it's funny you mention kings, because I have a list here I made up. It's all kings. So, you know, there's a few books of the Bible that are talk about a lot of different kings. And some of those kings were pretty powerful, and others weren't. So, I tried to count up all the kings. And, you know, anybody know who the first king was?
Jesus?
Well, I'm talking about kings of Israel. He was a pretty tall guy.
Joseph?
Anybody? Saul. Saul was the first king. And he was set aside because he disobeyed the Lord. And then came David. And David was a king that was a powerful king. But he had his troubles. And then he had a son. His name was Solomon. And Solomon also had his troubles. I don't think there's any kings that really had no trouble at all. But after Solomon, God divided the kingdom. And he split it up into two different sections. And one of them we call Israel. One of them we call Judah. So I just kind of counted up the ones I could find in Israel. And I came up with about 20 kings, 19 or 20. And the Bible identifies every king by, are they good or are they bad? And sometimes it says something else about them, but for the most part, every king in the Bible was identified by whether they were King of Israel was identified by whether they were good or bad. So in Israel, how many of these 19 or 20 kings do you think was a good king?
Probably like 5 or 6.
That would probably be a good guess.
Like
10? That would be really nice.
8?
They're good answers. And you would hope that if there were 20 kings of God's people, that there would be 8, 10. It'd be nice if there was 20. Five, six, seven, eight. All right. Well, you're all too high.
3.
You're still too high.
1. 2. 1. 1.
0. 0. Okay, 0. You know, there was one king. His name was Jehu. And he had a great start. The Lord raised him up and told him to wipe out some people that dishonored him. And he had a great start. And he went and he really kind of cleansed Israel. And he knocked down all the things. He got all the people of the idols of Baal into one building. Tricked him, told him he was having a big feast for this God, and he wanted to make sure there was nobody there that worshiped the Lord, only people that worshiped Baal, and then he killed them all. But Jehu, he was pretty proud of the way he acted for the Lord. And he said, come on, hop on my chariot, and you see my zeal for the Lord, you know. And he really wanted to show people how great he was as a man of God. But he wasn't a man of God. And he ended up, you know, God gave him some consideration because he did what the Lord told him to do in the beginning of his life. But he disobeyed the Lord. And he didn't, it says later in his life that he just paid no attention to what the Lord said, and he was not a good king. So that was really the only king that even has anything mentioned good about him, I think, in the, I might be stretching things to say that, so I won't say that, but he would be the only one you might even think about as being a good king early in his life, but. Then we had the other side of the kingdom, which was Solomon's son was the first, Solomon's grandson was the first king there. And there was about 20 kings there, maybe 19 and one queen, actually. So you want to take some guesses again? How many good kings on the other side? Oh, now you're not going to guess so high, are you?
3.
Christopher?
5.
5.
2.
2.
I'm getting as high now.
All right. Could be a trick. You're right. I'm going to tell you, because you're not guessing. You want to guess?
9. 9,
okay. Somebody was real close. I counted 6, which is pretty good, considering that our last answer was 0. So, I want to talk about just one of those kings, really. And he's a king that's talked about quite a bit. And there's a good reason why he's talked about quite a bit. We read some verses about him last week in our Sunday school because there was something that he did that hadn't been done for quite a while. And he kept the Passover. So The king I'd like to talk about a little bit is Hezekiah. So we're going to turn to 2 Kings chapter 18. So he was one of the good ones. And the reason I wanted to talk about this king is because I want you all to think about yourselves. When you think about this king, I would like you to think about yourselves. Because you might think, you know, this guy's a king. What do I have that he didn't have? You know, you think of a king, you think they got a lot of stuff, and maybe you don't have so much. But most of you have something that this king didn't have. So let's start with that, because I'll read just a little bit in the beginning of 2 Kings 18. Came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. And I'm going to skip the next verse. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father did. Okay, so who was his father?
David.
Now that was kind of a trick question, because we read in the first verse something different. It says that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. So, and then we read in the last verse that according to all that David, his father, did. So, there's two fathers here mentioned. Well, Ahaz, his father, was not one of the good kings. And if we turn back a little bit, a couple chapters, to the 16th chapter, we read in the second verse about Ahaz, and it says that he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord his God. And then it mentions, like David, his father. So David was really one who was really all of their fathers in a sense. They were descendants. Every one of these kings was a descendant of David. But here was a man whose father was a wicked man. And not only was he wicked, he actually he had a grandfather and a great-grandfather that were godly men. So that's three of those kings right there. Hezekiah's grandfather was a godly man. And Hezekiah's great-grandfather was a godly man, but his father, he brought all kinds of things into their country that led the people away from God, turned them away. So think about maybe something that you have that this king didn't have. Many of you have a father or a mother who loves the Lord Jesus and is a help to you there. So Hezekiah, he didn't have a godly father. But I want to just point out a couple things that Hezekiah did. And in the fourth verse, it talks about he removed the high places. And, you know, we read about his father actually bringing in an altar from Damascus, I think it was, and setting that up. And, you know, maybe even some of us, there's things in our own lives that we've brought in that are not a help, and would maybe turn people away from the Lord. Or maybe there's something that our parents brought into our lives that would not be a help to us. So Hezekiah was a man who stood out, because the things which had been ignored by many generations. He got rid of, and he kind of cleansed the land and took these high places away. But then there's one thing that I really would like to talk about in the fifth verse. It said he trusted in the Lord. He trusted in the Lord. So we sang that about in one of the songs, Trust. He trusted the Lord. And it says that there was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. So he was unique. He stood out among all the kings. There was no king, I believe, that trusted the Lord like this king. And it says he clave to the Lord. He held on. That's kind of like hold on tight. And that's what I hope, that when you think about yourself and you think about Hezekiah, I hope you want that in your life. Hold on to the Lord tight. You know, that's easy to do when everything's going all right. It's easy to say, I'm a Christian, I trust the Lord. But you know, problems come into all of our lives. And some problems came into Hezekiah's life. Big problems. What would you think a big problem would be if you were a king? Yeah, a battle. A battle is a big problem if you're a king, right? Now, David had a lot of battles, and he did pretty well. There are some kings that only had one battle, and they didn't do very well. And either they didn't live to have another one, or they were captive somewhere. Yes, Chris?
I even have problems that, like, some people wanted to, kill the king.
Yeah, some people want to kill the king. That's a big problem, too. Well, Hezekiah had this problem. He had another king from a country that had already, you know, while Hezekiah was king, there was another king just kind of on the other side of the country, really. And while Hezekiah was king, that other part of the nation of Israel was brought into captivity. And that king was overthrown by the Assyrians, the king of Assyria. So a few years later, all of a sudden, the king of Assyria is coming now after Hezekiah. And he sends a message to Hezekiah. And I want to just read a couple of the questions that he sends from verse 19 in 2 Kings 18. It's the question to Hezekiah, and his messengers sends this message to Hezekiah saying, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? Well, we talked about power and strength and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, sometimes we get pretty full of ourselves. Happens to all of us, I think. And we start to think that, yeah, I'm pretty special. I can do things that this person can't do. And, you know, I did things that this person will never be able to do. And we start thinking like that. It's a bad way to think. But by nature, we do that, I think. We tend to think that we're something. So this question was asked to Hezekiah. Where's your confidence? And it's good to find out where that confidence was. And I'm going to read a few verses here that ask him what it is. He says in the end of I'll read the whole verse. Thou sayest, verse 20, thou sayest, but they are but vain words. I have counsel and strength for the war. Now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Now behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, on which if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, unto all that trust on him. You know, there was, perhaps it was even his father that had joined up, sent presents to this king, and actually got him to help him in a battle. And that happened very often in old times and still happens today. The countries will join up. They kind of look and say, well, who's the bigger threat here? Who's going to wipe me out? And if I'm worried about this person, then I'll join up with a few other people. And because we can get together and get strength in numbers, that we'll be able to defeat this other country. So I think his father did that. So the king says, do you trust in them? And then he says, but if ye say unto me, we trust the Lord our God, is not that he whose high places and whose altar Hezekiah hath taken away and hath said to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem? So he's saying to him, well, you took this God's high places and altars away. That's kind of the way maybe the world looks at things, you know, because sometimes Christians attach Christian labels to that which dishonors the Lord, and it makes the world look at things very differently. And we can do that sometimes. We could, you know, call something Christian that's really not Christian and make somebody think how can we trust the Lord when we're taking away something that represents the Lord to them? I'm going to move over to, I'm going to read just the 25th verse. Am I not now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. So he tells them that, you think you have the Lord on your side? I have the Lord on my side. Because God told me to come and come up against this land. And I don't know what God told this king, but I do know what God said about this king in Isaiah chapter 10. And this king was used by God. And the only problem was this king didn't realize that he was, as God put it, he was the axe, not the person swinging the axe. So he says in Isaiah 10, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his high looks. Then he says in verse 15, shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith? So if I give you an axe, it can't go chop down the tree for you, can it? So this king was just the axe, really, in the hand of the Lord. And he got to think that he was really important. So what happened in this story was this king, he came up, he surrounded the city, he got everybody worried, and God sent this king a message. He prayed. The answer to this king of Assyria's question, who did he trust? He trusted the Lord. We read that right in the beginning, didn't we? He trusted the Lord. Do you think you can trust the Lord for everything? I hope you do. Because that's really the really important thing about Hezekiah. You read a lot about him. And you read a lot about him that's not in the Bible, too. He was a fascinating man. And I've seen pictures of tunnels that he dug through the rock under the city, I think maybe to get water in, I'm not sure. But we read in the Bible, he stopped up all the wells so that the king of Assyria wouldn't have anything to drink outside the city. But everything that he did prospered. And it wasn't because he thought he trusted himself, he thought he was great. There probably came a time, there did come a time in his life when that happened with him. Hopefully it wasn't a very long time, and he repented of it. But the Lord delivered this king. He prayed to God, and he said, you know, Lord, I don't have strength. It's true. This king has really torn up some pretty powerful countries. And I don't have strength to deal with that. And that's, I hope, the way you come to the Lord. I hope it's the way we all come to the Lord. Is that we don't have strength. We don't have the ability to fight the troubles that come into our life. But God does. And God sent this king an answer. And he says, I've heard that prayer. And this king that you're so worried about, you won't even have to shoot an arrow. You're not even going to do a thing here. And the angel of the Lord came through the camp of those people, this army that had come out against a feeble king whose strength was in the Lord. And the army, the angel of the Lord visited that camp. And it says that that angel killed 185,000 men in one night. 185,000 men gone like that. The king mocked at Hezekiah and the people and said, you know what? I'll give you the horses to ride on. I'm so confident that I can wipe you guys out. I'll give you the horses to ride on. You just put the people on them. He was pretty sure of himself, but he didn't know the Lord. And he didn't know the power of the Lord. So God's power, that power that we read about in that verse, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's God's power to change a life, to give a new life. And for your life to actually be something good. Something honors the Lord. So that power, you know, Hezekiah, all he did was trust the Lord. And he held on to the Lord. And no matter what, even when things looked terrible, and it looked like that he was, you know, if he just looked in his own strength, he would say, boy, I'm done for. I'm going to get wiped out. I just saw the other half of the country get wiped out not too many years ago. But he trusted the Lord. And I think a lot of how he lived his life gave him that confidence too. He first trusted the Lord and then did what was right. And he took all the things out of his life that didn't belong there. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. Well, those children the people in Hezekiah's kingdom were safe because of Hezekiah's trust in God. And that country that he was so worried about, the Lord dealt with them in one night, and they went back to their own country. And the leader of that army was killed by his own children. So Hezekiah, I hope you think about him and think about his trust in the Lord, and I hope you put that same trust in the Lord, because he's good for it. And the things that will come into your life will be different, but God is the same, and God is able, and God is willing to protect you, to fight your battles for you. And you can have confidence in him if you fear him and trust him. Let's pray. Our God and loving Father, we just give thanks for thy word. Think of this story, which is such an encouragement of thy care for thine own. And this king, we pray that we may remember this king as one who stood out, none like him, with his trust to thee. And we pray that we may also be ones that are characterized by trusting thee and fearing thee and honoring thee. We just ask now for blessing on thy word and blessing on each heart here. Ask for blessing on the meetings to come. In the worthy name of the Lord Jesus, amen.